with the gods as our witnesses. Let us pledge that the winner will allow the loser all the proper funeral rituals.
You're serious?
There are no paths.
You're serious?
No, you're a killer!
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face!
Bang, bang, bang! Ah! Bang,
bang, bang. That's a war face! Try let me see your war face! Ah!
Here it comes!
You didn't get you want to see your real war face!
The best ever! The best ever!
You don't scare me!
Let's get ready to rumble!
The best ever! The best ever!
Let's get ready to rumble.
The best ever. My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I want to eat his children.
Greetings, Fife fans, to another edition of In the Square Circle with Felipe Leon. This is number 27, episode 27 for the week of July 25th. I'm Felipe Leon, the international editor of FightNews.com, one of the international editors of FightNews.com, also co-host of Boxeo Tijuana TV every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific on our dedicated YouTube channel, youtube.com/Boxeo Tijuana. We give you all the boxing news, analysis, and everything else, phone calls in Spanish, and every other week here on the Leave It in the Ring Network, we're with the 2-Minute Round with David Avila, former fighter Elena Baby Doll Reed, and myself, Felipe Leon, giving you your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at SDFight, S as in Sam, D as in David, Fights, where we kind of go at it with our fellow Twittians on there. But here in the Squared Circle is your 30-minute or less look at the boxing world for the last week. We give you a quick recap of all the news, the notes, the fight results, and the upcoming calendar in a very quick and concise way, 30 minutes or less. With that said, let's go to our news section, what we like to call here our hooks and jabs. This week, Fight News put together a poll to find out who fight fans think is the best for pound fighter. And as of the recording of this show in the Square Circle, these are the results. Gennady Golovkin topping the list at 44% with Román El Chocolatito González a far second at 15%. Andre Ward got 13%, whereas Terence Crawford came in at 7%. Sergey Kovalev, 5%. Vasyl Lomachenko, 4%. Tiger Canelo Alvarez. Guillermo Rigondeaux is at 3%, tied with someone else, meaning someone else not on the list. And in last place with 1% is one-time Keith Thurman. So there you go, Gennady Golovkin, almost 50% of the vote on FightNews.com as the best mythical pound-for-pound fighter of today's boxing. It has been more than a month since the WBA quote-unquote regular cruiserweight champion Beitbout Shumanov petitioned the WBA to either declare a purse bid for a title fight between him and WBA quote-unquote super cruiserweight champion Denis Lebedev or strip Lebedev of his title. This past April, the WBA had issued a resolution that the winner of the Lebedev versus Victor Emilio Ramirez WBA/IBF unification fight in May must fight Shumanov within 120 days of the winner. Shumanov ended up getting a knockout victory over Junior Wright in that fight, I believe. Or Shumanov got a May 21st knockout victory over Junior Wright. And Lebedev fought Victor Emilio Ramirez in a unification fight in May. However, now Lebedev ended up winning that fight. However, now Lebedev's promoter, Andrei Rabinsky, reportedly has a deal in place for Lebedev to defend his IBF title first. The Shumanov camp maintains that Lebedev is holding his version of the WBA title hostage and they're unable to book any fights for Beitbout under the WBA rules. I was looking forward to fighting Lebedev, and I don't understand his unwillingness and refusal to step in the ring with me, stated Shumanov. So here we have a world champion who is looking to fight, who is ranked at least in the WBA ratings or rankings higher than him, being that the super champion, usually the WBA super champion, the way that you get that distinction for the WBA is that you have defended your title five times. at least 5 times. And so Baby Shumanov has done that. Lebedev has done that. And Shumanov, who is the regular champion, wants his chance at a super championship. And the WBA and Lebedev's team are not willing to give it to him. So let's see what happens here. The much-awaited confrontation between two of the best fighters in the lower weight divisions of boxing. Longest reigning Filipino world champion and current WBO world junior flyweight champion Donnie Nietes and unified WBO-WBA flyweight champion Juan Francisco El Gallo Estrada is being delayed until next year. There was talk that this fight was going to happen this summer at the StubHub Center here in Carson, California, in Southern California, but it looks like there is some obstacles for that mega fight. According to ALA Promotions, President Michael Aldeguer Sanfer, who is Estrada's promoter, has informed them that they received a WBA mandatory letter for Estrada to fight current WBA World Flyweight Champ Kazuto Ioka, forcing to push back the Nietes-Estrada super fight. Aldeguer added that the negotiations for this fight will definitely be carried on in the next months towards his realization. No word when Estrada must face Ioka. But usually when the sanctioning body send out a letter, they usually expect the fight to happen in the next 60 to 90 days. So let's see what happens with that fight between El Gallo Estrada and Kazuto Ioka and see if it's going to be in Japan or if Sanford can one way or the other finagle the fight into Mexico. Hugo Cuatito Ruiz will travel to Japan for his September 16th defense against the tough Hosumi Hasegawa in Osaka. Ruiz won the WBC Super Bantamweight title after knocking out Julio Ceja in the first round last February in a much-anticipated rift between two Mexican warriors. Hasegawa suffered losses to Fernando Montiel and Johnny Gonzalez in Japan. So we have here the WBC Super Bantamweight champion going to Japan to defend his title against Hasegawa, who is somewhat of a veteran, very well known in Japan, very well known in Mexico, and somewhat well known in the United States. So they're expecting him to travel to Japan to defend against him. And it looks like Amir Khan is serious about facing Conor McGregor sometime soon in MMA, in an MMA octagon. He stated, "I would definitely fight in the UFC. Something like that would be massive," added Khan. "Even if I started to train MMA next year, I'll only be 30 years old. I could stop and train for a full year and become a good MMA fighter. It's in our blood to fight. I've been fighting all my life. So for me, I don't think it'll be a problem for me to learn and switch over to the sport." A lot of people in the MMA think that is a little bit far-fetched, that he could learn all the nuances of a ground game, jiu-jitsu, or anything else you might need to learn to be able to compete at a high level in the mixed martial arts world, especially against a guy like Conor McGregor. But Amir Khan also had mentioned that obviously a boxer, if you could keep the fight standing up, then a boxer would always beat an MMA fighter because, you know, they know how to box, but then it becomes a problem when they actually get on the ground. Quick notes, real quickly. Abel Sanchez, the trainer of Triple G, who, as I stated earlier, won that poll by FightNews.com, stated that if Eddie Hearn of Matchroom Boxing would have offered DeGale, Chunky DeGale, instead of Kell Brook, that they would have taken that fight instead. They said that they had lost a lot of time negotiating with Chris Eubanks and that they just wanted to take the first yes. The first yes came from Kell Brook, but if it would have been Chunky DeGale, who is a world champion at 168 pounds, Gennady Golovkin would have gone up to the 168-pound division for one time and only, and then gone back to middleweight to try to unify the titles there, as it has been his mission for a while. But Kell Brook ended up saying yes first, or that's the fight that Eddie Hearn offered. So now Kell Brook is the one that must go up to middleweight, 13 pounds from his 147 welterweight division, to face Gennady Golovkin on September 10th in London. Heavyweight title holder Deontay Wilder has had one surgical procedure already on his broken right hand and will have another one on it, as well as his torn right bicep, probably later this week. Trainer and co-manager Jay Diaz told ESPN.com on Monday. Wilder broke his hand and tore his biceps in a dominant 8-round knockout of Chris Arreola to retain his world WBC heavyweight title for the fourth time on July 16th in front of a home state crowd at Legacy Arena in Birmingham, Alabama. Now that Top Rank and welterweight Brandon Rios are on the same page again, Rios was claiming that his contract was up. Top Rank believed it was not so. So now they are in agreement. Rios was offered a fight against Miguel Cotto by Roc Nation, but it looks like Rios was not interested. The fight was expected to take place around 150 pounds, but for whatever reason was not interested in the fight. This comes after it was known that the talks between Miguel Cotto and Juan Manuel Marquez have fallen through, and Juan Manuel Marquez will not be facing Miguel Cotto in the fall. It is expected for Cotto to return on December 3rd in Florida and not in New York City, as he has done for quite a while. And let's see what happens with Juan Manuel Marquez. Juan Manuel Marquez, you know, hasn't fought since May of 2014, so time is running out for the Mexican fighter, who says he wants to come back and do a couple more fights. And with that, that brings us to the end of the hooks and jabs section, and now we will go to our fight results. On Wednesday, July the 20th, from Osaka, Japan, quite possibly the best fight of this last week, Shingo Wake lost an 11th round TKO to Jonathan Guzman, the undefeated, hard-hitting Jonathan Guzman of the Dominican Republic. And Guzman captured the vacant IBF Super Bantamweight title. The title was left vacant when Carl Frampton, who fights this weekend, went up to the featherweight division to face Leo Santa Cruz. We'll be talking about that fight in a bit. But this was possibly the best fight of the week. A lot of back and forth action. Guzman, a very hard hitting, quick, little bit raw fighter, but gave Shingo Wake everything he could handle. But Wake was right there in the fight, even though his right eye got swollen shut. Wake was down twice in the second, once in the third, and once in the fifth, and then he got scored on pretty heavily on the 11th, and that's when the referee went ahead and stopped the fight. On the same card, Kazuto Ioka, the one that will be facing El Gallo Estrada, defending his WBA flyweight title, got a 11th round knockout against Kevin Lara in that same main event. On Thursday, from Christchurch, New Zealand, Joseph Parker scored a 4th round TKO over Solomon Hamono in a 12 rounder to defend his WBO Oriental heavyweight title. Parker looked pretty good. He was able to withstand and to control the action, even though he was being highly pressured by Solomon Hamono. Hamono, 40 years old in this fight. A couple of months ago, maybe 6-7 months ago, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, Joseph Parker of New Zealand was being tooted as at the same level as Anthony Joshua from the UK, but it's become apparent that Anthony Joshua has actually improved in leaps and bounds. Joseph Parker still needs some work, but he is heading that way, and maybe we'll see a matchup between the two next year. On Friday, July 22nd, from the Foxwood Resort in Mashantucket, Connecticut, GH3, CS Boxing, and Samson Boxing gave us on Showtime Adam Lopez getting a split draw over Roman Ruben Reynoso, Triple R, in a 10-round for the WBA Featherland Super Bantamweight title. Scores were 96-94 for Lopez, 97-93 for Reynoso, and an even 95-95. On Saturday, July 23rd, from the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico, Promociones del Pueblo on Televisa gave us a majority decision for Jessica Chavez, who kept her WBC female flyweight title over tough challenger Esmeralda Moreno. Scores there were 95-95, 96-95, and 97-93 for the defending champion. And from the MGM Grand Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada, Top Rank on HBO pay-per-view gave us Terrence Crawford scoring a unanimous decision over former undefeated champion Victor Postol to capture the WBC super lightweight title and added to his very own WBO title. Scores were 118-107 two times and 117-108. Postol was down twice in the fifth and lost a point in the 11th for rapid punching. You know, it's a time to eat crow for me. I had picked Victor Postol on our show, Boxeo Tijuana, in Spanish, and I also picked him in English on the Leave It in the Ring show last week. I truly believe that Victor Postol was going to be able to control the action with his distance and his jab, and did not have the inclination or the idea that he would not be able to close off the ring. But Terrence Crawford did what he needed to do. He boxed. He outboxed him. He fought in a completely different manner than he had fought previously against his other fighters. And the other fighters he had been against, Yuroquez Gamboa and Thomas Delorme and Ray Beltran and Hank Lundy, he had been much more aggressive. In this fight, he was pot-shotting a little bit and circling the ring, never being stable, never really exchanging with Postol. He did exchange, especially in the last round and in other rounds, but not enough for Victor Postol to be able to catch him with anything significant, which is good for Crawford. I mean, he ended up winning the fight and becoming the best super lightweight in the world. Now it's being mentioned that he may face Manny Pacquiao in November. We'll see if that happens. Also on the same card, Oscar Valdez scored a second round TKO over formerly undefeated Argentinian Matias Carlos Rueda to capture the vacant WBO featherweight title. The title was vacant because Vasyl Lomachenko, who held the title at 126, actually went up to 130, defeated Roman Rocky Martinez, and decided to stay there. Also on the card, Jose Benavidez scored a unanimous decision over Francisco Santana in a 10-rounder at welterweight. Scores there were a crazy, crazy 190 by Adelaide Bird, 98-92, and a 96-94. I think that 96-94 is the most accurate of all the scores. That was a pretty good fight. And Alexander Grovdzik scored a 6-round TKO after going down to the canvas himself in the 6th round, and he scored it over Tommy Carpensi in the opening bout of the pay-per-view. And lastly, in the fight results for this last weekend from the Scottish Rites Theater in San Antonio, Texas, Leila Bata Promotions and the PBC gave us on NBC Sports Fabian Andres Maidana scoring a 6-round TKO over Jorge Maisonet in a welterweight in a scheduled 8-rounder, while Alan Emmanuel Castro scored a unanimous decision over Aaron Garcia at middleweight 8-rounder. Scores were 78-74 three times. Now we go to the upcoming calendar. Alrighty, on Friday, July 29th, from the Centro Vidéotron in Quebec City, Quebec, Canada, Yvonne Michel on Spike TV gives us the WBC light heavyweight champion Superman Adonis Stevenson taking on Thomas Williams Jr. in a 12-rounder. Who would have thought that Adonis Stevenson has gone from being one of the most touted fighters, one of the fighters that everybody looked forward to seeing fight before he joined the PBC and before he joined Al Haymon, and now he's fighting in the darkest corners of boxing on Spike TV. So that's what we're going to get. Also on that card, Colombian Eleider Alvarez, undefeated, will face Robert Bedridge in a 10-rounder at a catch weight of 180 pounds. Eleider Alvarez campaigns at light heavyweight. On Saturday, July 30th, from the Auditorio Municipal in Tijuana, Mexico, on the Sanford Promotions on the Azteca channel, will give us Luis Panterita Neri of Tijuana facing David Sanchez in a 12-rounder for the vacant WBC Continental Americas Super Flyweight title, while Jorge Paez Jr. will take on Johnny Navarrete in a 10-rounder at a welterweight. From the First Direct Arena in Leeds, England, Luke Campbell will face Arginus Mendez for the vacant WBC Silver Lightweight title. And the same night, from the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California, Golden Boy Promotions on HBO Latino will give us Antonio Orozco of San Diego, California against Abner Lopez in a 10-rounder welterweight. That has the writings to be quite possibly the best fight of the night, second to perhaps the one from Barclays Center, if not the best fight of the night. Also on the Fantasy Springs Casino, Jojo Diaz will take on Victor Pro in a 10-rounder at featherweight, where on Showtime from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, Leo Santa Cruz will defend his WBA featherweight title against super bantamweight champion Carl Frampton in a scheduled 12-rounder. Also on that card, Mikey Garcia makes his long overdue return when he faces Dominican Republican's Elio Rojas in a 10-rounder at super lightweight, while Paulie Malignaggi takes on Gabriel Bracero, defending his Brooklyn title in a 10-rounder at welterweight. And that is the latest edition, the 27th edition of In the Squared Circle with Felipe León. Before we go, we want to give you a rundown of what you can catch here on the Leave It in the Ring network of David Duenas. Monday nights at 4 p.m. Pacific, you get the next round with Steve Kim and Gabriel Montoya taking all your calls and the first ones of the week to take on the weekend's fights with opinions and analysis. Also, they have a lot of news of what's coming up next. Every Tuesday in the Squared Circle with Felipe León, this show, your 30-minute or less look at the week's boxing news, fight results, and upcoming calendar. Every Wednesday, our flagship show at 6 p.m. Pacific. Leave It in the Ring with David Duenas and Gabriel Montoya. Every other week, I get on there and say my piece. And then every other week, also on the 2-minute round with David Avila and former fighter Elena Baby Doll Reed, you get the 2-minute round. Your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world with myself as well as co-host. And then we are waiting for the return of the technical draw with Lenny the Fight Smith and Around the Ring with David Duenas, where he does a recap of all our shows. So with that said, I thank you for listening to another edition of In the Squared Circle, and until next week.
Everyone has a story to tell. Take Jen. She can see all the films she wants, whenever she wants, at Cineworld. From Finding Dory and the BFG to Suicide Squad. She gets 10% off all her cinema snacks, Baskin-Robbins, sweets and treats, you name it. Plus 25% off at some of her favourite restaurants, like Frankie and Benny's. That's Jen's unlimited story. Start yours today when you join Cineworld Unlimited. From just $17.40 a month. Love cinema? Join the club. Sign up today at your local Cineworld or visit cineworld.com.